Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. Well, it's great to be here tonight. And it's wonderful to have this opportunity once again. You never know how many more opportunities we're going to have to do this. So it's wonderful to be here and to have the assurance and the promise that Jesus is right here with us. Praise God. We are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night. Thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here. And I pray, O God, that Thou would inspire us this night to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. I pray that we would all feel Thy presence. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. I pray that each and everything we do here tonight would be done according to Thy perfect will, Thy perfect plan. Lead and guide and direct us every step of the way, we pray. We ask, O God, that Thou would be here with us. We believe that Thou art here with us. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start out with a very simple chorus that we sometimes sing, and it's just wonderful to praise the Lord. So we're going to go to number 11 and sing "Let's Just Praise the Lord," number 11. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise. Our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. God, for all that you have done. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to turn over to number 94 right now and sing "Wherever I Am." I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him. Number 94. And whenever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to try singing a chorus that we haven't sang in a very long time. It's probably been a couple of decades. I'm not sure if I remember how it goes. But we're going to try it. It's number 110 in the chorus book. He's my bread when I'm hungry. Number 110. Jesus, he's still all right. is my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. Is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, Jesus, he's still alright. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 he's still all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. And you know, in the context of this song, when we sing he's still all right, that doesn't mean he's just okay. It means that he's completely right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 68 and sing He's the Lord of Glory, number 68. He's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Is the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yes, he truly is the Lord of glory, and his name truly is wonderful. In fact, we are going to go to number 178 right now and sing His Name is Wonderful, number 178.
Thank you, Lord.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, His name is wonderful. That name above every name. Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy abundant blessings. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast been merciful, that Thou hast cared for us for all these years. For we know, O God, that we could not be here without Thy mercy, Thy grace, and Thy help. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead us in all things, continue to direct our steps now and in the future, for we need Thee so very much. And I pray, O God, that Thou would give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy cause, for Thy name, for Thy glory. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we do have a few things to pray about before we sing one more song. I did get a message from Jenny last night, and Joe's father does have lung cancer, so they would like continued prayer for him, and also that he would turn to the Lord. And we're also going to pray for Rob. His hip has been bothering him for a while now, and he did go in for x-rays the other day. I think he's still waiting for those results. And we're also going to pray for my mother-in-law, Linda. Once again, she did have another surgery, and from what I heard, it did go well, and we're just praying that she will recover completely and that the Lord will be with her. So we're going to bring all these petitions before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, and we bring before Thee Joe's father, Jim, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch him. We pray, O God, that he would reach out to Thee, that he would put his faith, his hope, and his trust in Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou would draw him unto Thyself, speak to his soul, do a work in his life, we pray. Help him, O God, to think of Thee, for we know, O God, that at any given moment, eternity is only a step away, and we pray, Lord, that Jim would reach out to Thee and touch Thee. And we ask, O God, that Thou would guide the doctors as he goes through all of the procedures regarding this cancer. We pray, Lord, that Thou would give them great wisdom. We ask, O God, for a miracle, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch him. We know, O God, that Thou can heal all things. We know that Thou can heal even cancer. We pray, Lord, that Thou would touch Jim right now. And we pray, O God, that he would reach out to Thee and trust Thee fully and completely. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring our dear brother Rob before Thee, praying, Lord, that Thou would touch him, touch his hip. We ask, O God, for complete restoration, complete healing. For we know, O God, that this has been very painful. We pray that Thou would touch Rob right now. Let him feel Thy touch right now. Let him feel Thy healing virtues flow, Lord. We ask, O God, that Thou would reach out and touch him and heal him completely. For we know, O God, that by Thy stripes we are healed, and we are believing for Rob today. Touch him and heal him, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Linda before Thee, praying, O God, that she would recover completely from this surgery. We ask, O God, that Thou would be with her, that Thou would help her, that Thou would comfort her. We pray, O God, that her eyesight would be completely restored. We pray that it would be better than ever. We know that Thou can do all things. We know that Thou can heal the eyes. We know that Thou can heal every part of the human body, for Thou hast made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would touch her and heal her completely. Let her have complete recovery. And we pray, O God, that Thou would put Thy peace in her heart. We ask this, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a wonderful thing that we can always bring our petitions before the Lord, and we do know that He hears our prayers. Praise God. And we have seen a lot of miracles over the years. God still heals. Praise God. Praise God. Well, keeping with the theme of the choruses tonight, we're going to sing one more. Before we turn it over to Shirley, we're going to go to number 72 and sing "For He is Lord," number 72. For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. And I do want to just acknowledge how wonderful it is to know that He is the Lord. You know, I know people are so confused out there today. You know, you read some articles sometimes and, you know, probably even among, more so even among the younger millennials, you know, just terribly distorted minds where they just honestly don't know who Jesus is. And, you know, one day they are going to have to bow before Him. One day they are going to have to acknowledge Him. And there's no getting around it. You know, there's going to be no excuses at that moment. And God does make opportunity. And, you know, I just thank the Lord. He puts it within us. You know, I believe it was His great and wonderful plan that He would come to this world as the light of this world. And then He would put His light within us so that we could shine forth in this world that is so dead and, you know, downtrodden and, you know, without real knowledge, just vain knowledge so often. And you know, you see how trends change, how opinions change, you know. At one point, you know, don't do this, and the next point, oh, do this. And you know, it fluctuates, it changes with times. You know, if you live long enough, you see how, you know, one decade will think this way, the next a completely different way. But yet we know the Lord, and you know, He is constant. He is the same. He doesn't change. And I'm so thankful we've got that kind of stability in our lives. You know, we've got that anchor that holds. You know, we can go to Him. We can draw from His strength, and He gives us what we have need of, no matter what it is. And you know, we could just cry out to Him and believe in His promises. He's there to meet every need. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin this message here tonight and trust the Lord here to work. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again. You have given us this opportunity, Lord. We have, oh Lord, this evening to open up Your Word, Lord, and to think upon You, Lord, to draw nigh to You, Lord, to worship here together. We thank You, Lord. We thank You that we know who You are, Lord. We thank You that we can bow our knee to You now, Lord. We can acknowledge You now, Jesus. And oh God, we can give our hearts to You now. And God, I just pray that You work in us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You move in us. I pray that You change us, Lord. Oh God, and oh Lord, that glorious light of the gospel would shine through us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd make us, oh Lord, a light unto this world. Oh God, that, oh God, it could be not denied that we are Your children, Lord. Oh God, we ask that You work in our hearts. Oh God, that You meet the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh God, that, oh God, You talk to every heart. Oh Lord Jesus, oh God, that You change us, that You give us the thinking that we need, Lord God. Oh God, give us, oh Lord, all the opportunities that we need to, Lord. Oh God, in this short life that we live, God, moments that we may have yet left to live. I pray that You'd help us here. Let You use this message, oh God. Oh God, I draw on Thy strength and ask, oh Lord, that You would work in a mighty way. Oh God, that You give me the words. And oh God, that You'd help each and every heart, oh Lord. Oh God, that we would draw nigh to You, Lord. And oh God, that we would acknowledge You, Lord. Oh God, and that You'd rain upon us of Thy Spirit and of Thy Word. And we come to You in Jesus' name. And thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, our God is good. He is so good. He knows how to help us, you know. And you know, it's amazing, you know, a lot of Wednesdays, you know, hour or two before service, I'll start to feel sick. And, you know, I know that was particularly true last week. And, oh, man, you know, now what? Oh, my. You know, it's too late to cancel the service and blah, 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 you know. But you know what? The Lord helped me. And, you know, I was up here and all of that went away. Absolutely every bit of it. And, you know, I think the devil tries to put it on us sometimes. He tries to attack us. You know, he doesn't want us to go to church. He doesn't want us to worship God. He doesn't want us to read our Bibles. You know, why is it, you know, so often, you know, we kneel down to pray and all at once we're so tired that we can hardly, you know, think, you know. Oh, yes, we have an enemy. We have an adversary. And sometimes, you know, we got to push through and, you know, just get there because, oh, boy, God knows how to help us. You know, He knows how to give us strength. Strength that we do not have in ourselves. Believe me, I know that. Oh, praise the Lord. I would not be here tonight except for the strength that God gives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message The Light of the World. And again, I'm so thankful for that light that has shone in our hearts. But you know, we know that there was a time when it was darkness. And of course, we know there in the very, very beginning, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And you know, the description there of the earth wasn't, you know, very attractive at that moment, you know. Oh man, the earth was in great darkness. It was void. It was empty. There was nothing on this earth. And it was, you know, It was without form. It didn't have any shape. And, you know, it was void. In other words, it was empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And praise the Lord, there was the living Spirit of God. Oh, our God that existed forever. And He moved upon the face of the waters. You know, it was time for there to be light. And He spoke it into existence. And it was so. There was light. At His words, let there be light, there was light. Praise the Lord. And you know, praise the Lord, there was a time that it was time for the Savior to come into this world, because spiritually, without Jesus, this world was in great darkness. Oh, the need for a Savior was so pronounced and so evident. You know, man floundering around by himself and making his own attempts to try to be good. And you know, there were some, you know, that, you know, to the best of their ability, lived up to the law to the best of their ability. But there was always, you know, a lack, this human nature, and, you know, all the things that we're predisposed to. But, you know, God made a way that He could reach out to us and save fallen man, to bring light into this dark world. Amen. And I'll tell you, if we go to Isaiah 60, let's do that. Let's go to Isaiah 60. We can read about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 60. It says in verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." You know, again, here is a descriptive of a description of how it was before Jesus Christ came into this world. And, you know, it talks about, again, it's talking about a spiritual darkness at this point. And it was a gross darkness. It was a heavy darkness that covered the people. But praise the Lord, there was that moment that the Lord came on the scene as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ. And His glory, the glory of God, was all upon Him. And it's so true. It says, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And we know, yes, when Jesus Christ came into this world, there were shepherds, there were abiding in the fields, watching their sheep by night, their flocks by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Oh yes, they were sore afraid at the first, but oh yes, that angel began to give a great pronouncement here that there was one that was born, that was King of the Jews, and they could find Him, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And you know, it was a wonderful thing, that announcement that came to the shepherds. And likewise, we know that at His rising, at His coming, there were wise men in the east who saw His star. And they too recognized that a king had been born, that there was something very significant that had happened. And God put it within their hearts to go and worship the one that was born, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And you know, this chapter 60 of Isaiah begins to describe all of that here. It says in the third verse again, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And then it says in verse 4, "Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. I believe this is a description. Oh, yes, when the light did come. And, you know, as I said, those wise men in the east. And, you know, it wasn't just three wise men as supposed. It wasn't anything like that at all. It was a multitude of camels, it tells us here in the sixth verse. Because I believe this is describing all the events when those wise men ascended upon Jerusalem. And it describes thine heart shall fear. It's talking about Herod, who all at once, you know, this crowd, this multitude of men from the east came on their camels, and they were seeking a king, and it wasn't Herod. Oh no, it wasn't Herod. You know, so great fear came upon Herod, and you know, I'm sure there was trembling, and you know, all of that, as you know, he saw the sight and realized that they were seeking one that he knew not of. But they were Gentiles that the Lord had moved and had sent. And there they were to bring gold and frankincense and myrrh to the Savior. Gifts that were of great value. And of course, you know, by the time they arrived, Jesus was no longer a tiny baby. He was an infant child. We believe probably maybe 2 years old or a little less. And he wasn't in Bethlehem at that point. But, you know, God put it all together. And those wise men did find him. That star guided him to the place, the house, where the young child lay. Praise the Lord. And then he talks about the flocks of Kedar that were gathered together unto the Savior. Oh, yes, those shepherds that were in the field there by night. And then, you know, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And that proclamation was declared that Jesus Christ had been born. And, you know, God put it within their hearts to go right away, go immediately into Bethlehem at that point to worship the child that had been born. And praise the Lord, what an event it was. But what had happened in the spiritual realm is, you know, that gross darkness that had covered the people, the darkness that had covered the earth was suddenly going to be lifted, because there was going to now be hope. There was going to be light that would come upon the scene. The Lord Jesus had come into the scene, and things would then begin to change. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, we know that as the ministry of Jesus Christ began to come forth, if we go to John, the 8th chapter, we see that Jesus began to declare that he was the light of the world. Looking here at the 8th chapter of John and verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Oh, what a beautiful statement there. But, you know, they didn't understand. The Pharisees were very critical. They were just saying, you bear record of yourselves. You know, there was nothing in them that really responded to the Savior at all. They just judged according to the flesh. And, you know, is what they could see and, you know, what they could interpret. But there was so much more. Oh, yes, if they could have only truly understood what this was all about. Oh, yes, the light had come into the world. And Jesus was rightly saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And also, if we look at the first chapter of John, oh yes, it says in the very first verse of this first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful thing because, you know, it tells us about that true light. As we go down here in the scripture, it mentions there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 6, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then it begins to talk about that light. Oh yes, it says in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Oh, what irony. Here's the Creator. Oh, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But here He is. He's in the world. The Creator of the universe. The world was made by Him. But ironically, the world knew Him not. Then it tells us in verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But thank God for verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That new birth, oh yes. Born again of the water and of the Spirit, by the will of God. And it tells us in verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But there He was, the light of the world who had come. And John came first, of course, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. And we know that there was none other light like unto Jesus at all. He, and He alone, was that true light, which would light every man that cometh into the world. He alone was the one that was the Creator, and the one who was in this world, of whom the world was made. But yet the world knew Him not. And how sad it was in the third chapter of John. It also talks about that light. It says in verse 17 here in John, the third chapter, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. The world was already in condemnation. So here we have light to expose the evil that had, you know, needed to be exposed. And it says in verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, indeed, Jesus said also in the book of John, Except that you believe that I am He, ye shall all likewise perish. It was so essential that they would believe upon Him, believe on His name. And you notice that the word is believeth, and it wasn't just an initial belief, because, you know, we see there, even in the sixth chapter of John, where Brother Samuel was last Sunday, there were some that believed on Him, and pretty soon they were rejecting Him. So it has an ETH on it here in verses 18 here. And others here. It means continue to believe. Not only to initially believe, but to continue to believe on Him. And then it tells us here in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Oh, they didn't want to be exposed. You see, the light would expose the evil deeds. Just as it is on a dark night, if you have to walk through the woods, perhaps, you'd want to have some kind of light with you. Oh, it could be pretty treacherous walking there in the dark. But thank God for the light of even a little flashlight or a lantern or some kind of beam that would shine and help you to see that you would not step on something undesirable or stumble or fall. Oh, how we need light in order to see. But here Jesus Christ, the light of the world, had come into the world. And yet, men would rather stick to their own sin. They would rather stick to the darkness, it tells us, rather than come to the light because their deeds were evil. And they didn't want those deeds to be exposed. Then it explains in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Oh, I know we have to humble ourselves to come to Jesus Christ. We have to get down on our knees and admit that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And we can't do it of ourselves and that our own good works would never save us. But there are some that know not to bend the knee, have it not in their hearts to bend the knee and acknowledge that they need salvation, that they need to be saved from their sins, that they need to acknowledge their sins in repentance and turn from them. Oh, yes, their deeds are evil, and they don't want them to be exposed, so they refuse to come to the light. But it does say in verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And I love it how the Lord Jesus Christ takes us. Oh, yes, he takes us initially in our sins. Oh, there's nothing we could do to eradicate them anyway. But thank God we can give them to Jesus. Praise the Lord, and he takes those sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, yes, we obey the command to be baptized this day. We go down into the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, that our sins might be remitted in those waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord, we come to the light, that our deeds might be made manifest. Oh, yes, when we truly come to Jesus, he's going to change us. Oh, yes, we're going to be converted. We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. So we're not like, we once were. Oh, yes, those awful sins that we once did, we abhor. We turn from them. Oh, we loathe them. We give them to Jesus. And how gracious and wonderful it is. Oh, yes, because he took our sins on that cross of Calvary. He paid for our sins with his blood that he shed for us. And oh, how we can thank him and how we can rejoice. Oh, yes, because we could never be worthy of our own righteousnesses. Oh, we could never merit salvation of our own works. But praise the Lord, oh, we come to Jesus. Oh, yes, we know that he is light. Oh, yes, and he gives us, oh, yes, the direction that we need all at once. These blinded eyes that couldn't see and that they couldn't understand, these deaf ears that couldn't hear, can comprehend the Word of God because he makes it known to us. He shows us when we come to him in faith and humility and bow our knee to him. Oh, yes, we get to see. Oh, yes, we once were blind, but now we can see. We can sing Amazing Grace because, oh, yes, the light has come to us. The light has appeared. Oh, yes, and we've been changed by that wonderful, glorious light. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then, because He is a light. Oh, yes, He came with this plan that He would put the light within His people. So as it tells us in Matthew, the 5th chapter, if you'd like to turn there with me. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then it says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus, put something within us. He gave us of His Spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit that was in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God. And what a plan. The Holy Ghost would come upon the prophets of old, and they would prophesy. They would tell forth as the Spirit of God came upon them. But under His plan in the new covenant, He would put His Spirit within us so that He would be in our very being, so that we could be led by the Holy Ghost. And all that light could shine within our very being. A light that others could see. A light that would direct other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here He tells us, "Let your light so shine before man." Oh, yes. Don't try to hide it under a bushel. Oh, yes. But put it on a candlestick, where it's going to give light unto all that are in the house, all that see us, so they might glorify our Father in heaven. In other words, they see Jesus in us, and somehow they know there's something that they need. Oh, yes, I'm out there. I'm in the dark, but there's somebody with light. And I don't know. I thank God that He reached out for me when I was young. So I don't know. It must be horrible to live in the dark spiritually. It must be horrible to just, be walking along and not really know, not really have the reassurances, or have just false answers and false hopes and no solid foundation. It must be horrible. But praise the Lord, when the light comes, when the light begins to shine, sir, would you like this track? I've got good news for you. Ma'am, something for you here. We have a little church down here in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. We sure like you to come. Oh, yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the works that He has done. Believing that those works that He did, we shall likewise do also. I praise the Lord He puts it with us. Oh, yes, to share that light. And, that's why He saved us. He could have saved us and just taken us out of this world. But no, there needed to be light in this world. Oh yes, there needed to be something that would shine. There needed to be, a candle. Oh, that would burn bright and give light to those that, come seeking, that really don't know, that are walking in the dark. I thank God He puts it within us. Oh yes, so we might shine. Oh, we might be bearers of a light that He put within us. Oh, praise the Lord, Sometimes it doesn't have to be a whole lot of words. And I thank God for moments when, you maybe find somebody really hungry and, you can, lead them, maybe even to repentance. Such moments. But, sometimes it's just in passing. But, do they know the Lord? Have they met Jesus? Has the light shone in their life yet? Are we not bearers of the light? Don't we need to bring it forth? Let's also go to Luke, the 11th chapter. Oh, Oh, praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Luke, the 11th chapter. It says in verse 33 here, Luke 11. It says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place." Well, you might burn down the whole place, yeah. Forget where it is? Oh, well, I think not. Okay. "Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Yes, that's the object of the candle, isn't it? To give light, you know, so that, you know, I can find, you know, that missing coin that's buried someplace or whatever all, or I can see to write my letter or whatever all is necessary at the moment. I need some light. And then it explains in verse 34, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when that eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not of darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." You know, so many people, it seems like they want to be half and half, you know. Just, they think they can be a Christian, or at least call themselves a Christian, and be a pagan on the other hand, or, you know, some kind of other person, I guess. But, you know, a half Christian, whatever all, you know. But this is talking about people with a full purpose in serving the Lord, where the eye is single, where there's no double-mindedness, but the heart has been given to the Lord Jesus. And, you know, the whole purpose in life is to serve the Lord and to do His will. You know, that's why Paul was so instrumental, you know, when Jesus saved him. And again, you know, look what God did. He shone a great light upon him. There he was on the road to Damascus, and, you know, with intentions to bring back Christians who would most likely have been killed. But the light shone upon that man. And all at once, oh yes, things began to change in him. And oh yes, that voice spoke from heaven, and he began to ask with fear and trembling, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice came back, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. How hard it is for thee to kick amongst the pricks." Oh my, he thought he was doing God service in his ignorance. Oh my, but the light shone upon him, that great light. It was so great that it blinded him for those moments. But it got his attention. Oh yes, and that man was changed. God changed that Saul of Tarsus. Oh, praise the Lord. And he realized, oh, he had been persecuting God. Oh, what a thought. Oh, my. Oh, I can't imagine what that must have felt like. But praise the Lord, that man gave his life over to the Lord. And God converted him. God changed him. He was transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And oh yes, he who once persecuted Christians reached out to them. Oh yes, to show forth the light of the gospel. Oh, that glorious light. And he, you know, his eye, I would believe, was single. He had one purpose, and that was to share the light of the gospel with as many as he possibly could. Oh, yes, he brought that gospel near and far. Oh, yes, you know, all Asia, it says, heard the gospel at one point, somehow, miraculously. And I believe, oh, yes, it began to spread. But he was not double-minded. That light that was in him was not darkness once he surrendered his heart to the Lord. And as it tells us here in verse 36 here in Luke 11, if my whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Oh yes, the simplicity of a candle in the dark, how it shines and how it directs, how it guides. Oh, how helpful it can be. Likewise, Jesus made us the light of the world. It never is going to work if there's, you know, we're trying to be part light and part dark. You know, half in the world and half in the kingdom. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. We want to be that light where there's no darkness at all, that eye that is single there, so that the light can fully shine as a candle, as a light in this dark world. Well, I'll tell you what, we live in such perilous times at this moment, and I imagine you'll be looking at the newsletter that Samuel just wrote, if you haven't already, or it's going to come to your address, or you'll see it online. But, you know, oh my, there's so many that are pretenders, and, you know, are fakes all the way through. I mean, how can four supposedly Christian ministers go stand in an abortion clinic and plus a rabbi and ask God to bless it? How can they do it? It's so sick. Call themselves Christians. I'll tell you what, that's blasphemous. Oh, that's darkness. There's no light in them. But they did it. They did it. And I'll tell you what, it was one of the few late-term abortion clinics in Bethesda, Maryland. I'll tell you how sick that is. But they dare call themselves ministers. Christian ministers. How despicable. I know a couple Sundays ago there was a Lutheran minister that was Christian, so to speak, at a ceremony. This minister had been Rose and had decided that she was really Peter. And the congregation went along with it, and so a ceremony took place to baptize Rose, Peter. You know, what a pretense, what a mockery. And people going along with it, the congregation approving it and putting their stamp upon it. Oh, I'll tell you what a sick world we live in. Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, Sam wrote about this Rupert Everett, producer of movies, and I don't know, I really question, I don't see how we could go to the theater. I don't see how we could endorse such wickedness. But there they are, you know, he's building this film based on the life of Oscar Wilde, who was a playwright in the 19th, or a writer in the late 19th century, but he was also a homosexual. And this producer, this Rupert, you know, is going to make a movie of this life. And he had the audacity to say that he considered this Oscar Wilde to be a Christ-like figure. I'll tell you what, this world is sick unto death. Oh yes, there's so many compromises. There's so much blasphemy. Oh man, it's so hard to bear the things that we are seeing. This is the world that we're living in right now. And there's going to be a day when God is going to judge it. This wicked filthy world. Oh, yes, that has rejected the light. And yet some of them dare call themselves Christians. Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, there is a day when they're going to stand before God and have to give an account. And it's not going to be pretty at that moment unless they would be moved by the Holy Ghost to give their hearts to the Lord in repentance and to surrender that life to the Lord. But that is a world that we're living in. Oh my, you know, they're amongst us. And people no longer know right from wrong. You know, the young people, so often, unless they have some kind of Christian backing, are so deceived. Unless there's somebody to stand there with some light. And, you know, I thank God. I know God knows how to spare even little ones that, you know, are maybe enforced to go to public schools. Somehow God knows how to reach out in the darkness. You know, sometimes I've met people and you know, I've spoken with them, and, you know, I just knew that there was a praying mother, a praying grandmother, a praying grandfather, somebody there, you know, that was backing them up in prayer. Oh, they weren't living for God, but, you know, they kind of knew it when I began to speak to them. Oh, yes, they began to, you could tell they had some kind of background. They kind of knew something, you know. They weren't walking in it, but, you know, they needed a light to shine in their face again. They needed somebody to come, oh, yes, to show them all the way that they needed to go. Oh, the one and only way that the Lord has brought forth in order to bring forth salvation, in order that we would be saved. I thank God. Oh, I just know, I know there's been moments, you just feel it sometimes. Oh, I guess I'm thinking of this AT&T store. I think I was in Minnesota at the moment, and oh my, you know, I began to talk to this young man, and, you know, begin to, you know, talk about the Lord Jesus, and he said, wow, you're just like my mother, you know, and, you know, I just, well, yeah, you know something, don't you? You know, I'm going to stir you up a little bit here, you know, yes, and, you know, that's what the light does, you know, it shines in the darkness. Oh, so we can give that word to, you know, that person that's all confused and bewildered and, you know, go off the path and, you know, might fall off the, you know, the cliff if somebody doesn't help them. I thank God, you know, we can be a light in this dark world. Oh, yes, and how we need to let it shine. Because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Oh, Lord Jesus. It says in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh, what a mouthful right in the second verse. But, you know, it's talking about a converted life. It talks about one that has come to the light. And yes, if that's truly the case, we're going to renounce those hidden things of dishonesty, all those things that we once walked in, those deceits, those lies, those crafts, oh, you know, those things of dishonesty that once we had lived in. You know, it's often, you know, a lot of times people tell what they call little white lies. And, you know, I mean, sometimes they become so good at it, I don't even know. They probably have fooled themselves. But praise the Lord, you know, if we're living for the Lord, we're going to be truthful. And we're going to renounce all those things in our past, you know, those scandalous things, you know, those things hidden in the background, those Masonic things, if that should be the case, that we once did in the darkness when we didn't know. And, you know, even said, we come to the lodge in search of light. Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, it's pretty bad, isn't it? You know, make that kind of proclamation, especially if, you know, you're professing to be a Christian. But we renounce those hidden things of dishonesty. And it says, not walking in craftiness, oh, you know, lies and cheating and, you know, those little sly things that people do. Patterns of deceit. And then it says, not handling the word of God deceitfully. Oh my, that's a big one, isn't it? If you just want to glance over in my Bible, it's just across the page here. To the second chapter of 2 Corinthians. It says in verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? It's true, not everyone that we witness to agrees with us and gives their heart to the Lord. But, you know, we've done our part. And there was an opportunity. The light was beginning to shine. There was a light that came into their, you know, into their presence. But thank God there's others that see and understand and come to the light. But then it explains in verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. There are so many that take the word of God and corrupt it. That is huge in this world that we live in right now. But instead, we speak the word of God, knowing that we do it in the sight of God, that He is our witness, that He is our judge. He's hearing what we say. And you know, when it goes forth as a light, the Lord can use it. Oh, there is no way that we want to be those that handle the word of God deceitfully. As it explains here in this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And then continuing in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verse 2, it says, we're not of those that, you know, would handle the word of God deceitfully, but rather by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, we want them to see the light. We don't want to be a stumbling block unto them. You know, if we're half living in the world and trying to half live for God, you know, it's going to be a stumbling stone. People are going to see that. He says he's a Christian and he does that. Well, he goes to the bar and he drinks, you know, all that booze, you know. He's no Christian. Ha, ha, ha. You know, people can see through that. You know, we are living epistles, it tells us, seed and red of all men. They can see through us. But, you know, we want to be able to commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We want to live above reproach. In other words, and then verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, we don't want to be like unto those that would hide the light under a bushel. so that, you know, it can't be seen. You know, we can't be so afraid that, you know, of consequences that, you know, we can't speak forth, we can't witness, you know, we, you know, go hide. It tells us, yes, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, there's a devil, and, you know, of course, he's working hard. You know, I know in that 13th chapter of Matthew, it talks about the four different grounds. And, you know, we know there are the people that are witness to, the light comes to them, and it goes in one ear, and it goes out the next. They don't give heed, they don't listen, they don't comprehend. You know, it does nothing for them. They don't allow it to come into their understanding at all. Like seeds that fall by the wayside. And then, you know, there's some spiritual seed that is sown, and it falls in the stony places where there's not much earth. And, you know, it tells us that, you know, it springs up, but there's no deepness there. And you know, the sun begins to shine, and that plant that's trying to come up is scorched because there's no root, there's no deepness, there's nothing there that will hold them fast. And, you know, that's like people who hear the word of God, and it comes to them, and they receive it, and it's wonderful, it's joyful, but it's snatched out of their heart. It isn't able to grow. It isn't able to have deep roots because the wicked one, the devil, goes forth and he catches it away, that which was sown. And, you know, it doesn't endure. And how sad it is. And there's others that fall among the thorns. In other words, the word is sown in their hearts and they receive it. And it begins to grow, but the thorns begin to also grow and smother them. And it's like some that come to the Lord, and even with joy and, you know, with great gladness, but as life continues, the cares of this world and the persecution and the other things that arise discourage them, and they're snatched away and they don't endure. But praise the Lord, there are those that become rooted in that good ground and begin to grow and mature, and their roots go deep. And praise the Lord, they bring forth fruit. It says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But praise the Lord for that good seed that goes forth, that is planted and is able to grow and spring up and mature and to ripen and to bring forth fruit. Oh, thank God. And that's what we want to be in the eyes of God. Oh, yes, fruitful. Oh, yes, a light in this world that shines forth the glorious gospel of Christ. Oh, yes, the one who is image of God. Oh, yes, and we can shine forth. And it declares in verse 5 here in 2 Corinthians 4, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're just ministers for the sake of our Lord. What we do it unto Jesus. And it's, you know, it's not of ourselves. We don't preach of ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all on Him. Our focus is not on us. We are His ambassadors. We go forth as the light that He has put within us to bring it forth in this world. And it explains in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Oh, that God who commanded his light to shine out of darkness. And as we said, you know, in the beginning, how this earth was without form. It was void. It was with darkness. But the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon the face of the deep. Oh, yes. And all at once, yes, that light began to shine. And so it was when Jesus came into this world. Oh, then, oh yes, there was a light in that spiritual vacancy. Oh, the place of darkness. God commanded that light to shine out of darkness. Oh yes, when that fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Oh yes, that we might become his sons and daughters, and that that light that was in Jesus might also shine in our hearts. Oh yes, so that we could bring the glad tidings to this world that walks in the darkness spiritually, to give the light of a knowledge of the glory of God. Oh yes, the good news, the gospel, that Jesus has come into the world to seek and to save those that were lost, that Jesus has come into this world to give us hope. Oh yes, that we would not be condemned. Oh no, but that we could give our lives to the Lord. Oh yes, and be rescued out of this dark and dying world. Oh yes, we could become his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord, that glorious light that God put within us when he filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And no, we don't preach ourselves, but that light is to bring forth the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, that we might share Jesus Christ with this world. You know, when he puts the Holy Ghost in us, he said, "But ye shall be witnesses." That was the purpose. He told his disciples in Mark the 16th chapter, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Except these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall ye cast out devils. Ye shall speak with new tongues. Ye shall take up serpents. And if ye drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Ye shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Oh yes, those same works that Jesus did, we can do also, because the light has shone into our hearts. That glorious light of the gospel has been made manifested to us. It has been revealed to us. So we can share that glorious gospel in this world. Oh, that is dead, and it is dying, it is doomed. Oh yes, it is without a savior largely. It is full of sin, it is full of horror. But God has given us something. He has given us the light of the gospel. Oh yes, and it might shine forth in our hearts, we who were once dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh, that glorious light has shined upon us. And I praise the Lord puts it within us, that we could be the light of the world. Oh yes, that same light that was in Jesus, you know. He knew he wasn't going to be on this earth for all that long. But he said, "Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." There he told them that in Acts the first chapter, verse 8. before he ascended into the heavens. Oh yes, he was going to put that light within us, that glorious gospel, so that we could be a witness in this world, so we could allow that light to shine brightly. Oh, you know that little children's song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Oh yes, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You know, don't let Satan poof it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We have an adversary. Oh yes, he doesn't want us to be a light in this world. He's gonna try every tactic that he can think of to hinder us. Oh yes, to make us think that, you know, we couldn't possibly say anything that would help anybody, or whatever all, or that we just don't have the know-how, we don't have enough knowledge, oh, you know, we're too shy. All those things that, you know, he puts in our mind, but we're here as light in this world. And, you know, it's not only our words, but it's the life that we live, how we reflect Jesus Christ. You know, we're stumbling around and, you know, doing a bunch of things that are not right, you know, that's not going to be a light. But how glorious when people will totally surrender their hearts to the Lord. And, oh yes, there's times we slip up, but thank God we can go to the Savior and ask Him to forgive us. And then, oh yes, try our best to make up for the stumbling. Oh yes, I believe that was Paul, you know. Wow, he was full force, you know, when he realized who Jesus was and what he had been doing. Oh my, he was full on. You know, he wanted to make up for that past. And how the Lord used him. Oh my, you know, what do we have to boast of? All we know is that, you know, the Lord somehow takes us as we are, you know, with all our, you know, negatives, you know, our inabilities, you know, all the things, you know, we see as hindrances. But the Lord can take us and use us in spite of, you know, background or lack of education or whatever all might be an excuse. You know, it's going to come out, you know, in our own ways. God using us, you know, in our own personalities as individuals. Not copying somebody else, but only trying to be like the Lord. Only trying to continue that work. Only trying to be a light in this world that is so full of darkness. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter here. Praise the Lord, this glorious chapter. It tells us how Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, it's going to happen. That acknowledgement time. Oh, yes, when every knee is going to have to bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then it continues here in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And then I'll close with verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, yes, that's the story here. Oh, yes, the world is wicked. It's perverse. It's crooked. It's dark. It's awful. It's dreadful. It's full of abominations. It's full of snares. Oh, it's full of hypocrites. But yet God has a people who can live in this world and yet not be a part of it because of their transformed life, because the light of Jesus Christ has shone into their hearts, that we might live blameless and harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Oh, yes. He could have taken us out if that would have been his pleasure when we came to him, but he didn't. No, he wanted us to shine forth as a light, as that candle in the midst of a dark room, shining forth to give light to all that are in the house. Oh, yes, he wants us to shine forth as light of the world. Lights, oh, yes, a light that cannot be hidden. Oh, yes, a light that brings forth the gospel, the glorious news of the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But yet, it says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, praise the Lord, the light of Jesus Christ that he put within us. Oh, yes, that we might reflect his image, that we might reflect his goodness, that we might be like unto him, that mind that was in Christ might also be in us, or that we might be a light to those that walk in darkness, that need so desperately somebody to show them the way. Oh, yes. Let's be a light in this world. Oh, yes, let's give it all to the Lord. Oh, yes, let's live above sin, above reproach. Let us be blameless and harmless as the sons of God, living without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Praise the Lord, the light of Jesus Christ that has shone into our hearts, that they might see the face of Jesus Christ through us. Oh, yes, that they might be shown the way, that they might know the one, oh God, who came into this world to bring salvation. Oh, yes, to be a light. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. And I ask, oh Lord, you would shine in us, Lord. Oh God, that we would reflect you, Lord. Oh God, that your goodness and mercy might, oh God, be deep within us, Lord. Oh God, that they could see the works, oh, that we do through you, Lord, by thy goodness, by thy mercy, by thy allowance, oh Lord, because you have come unto us, Lord, and changed us. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. A light of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to try a song that I don't know we've ever sang here before, but it seems appropriate tonight, and it's number 243 in the hymnal, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And I just want to mention, there's one line in this song that I would like to change in the chorus. It ends with, You may rescue, you may save. I would like to change that to, God may rescue, God may save, because He is the Savior, not us. But this is a beautiful song, and I'd like to try singing it. Number 243.
Thank you. Thank you.